This Next Realm podcast is presented by Roback Activewear. From performance polos to the performance hoodies and the performance Q-zips, Roback is the best fit and the best fill. Use code TNR20 at Roback.com for 20% off your first order. That's R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. 20% off all polos, hoodies, and Q-zips with the code TNR20. And make sure to check out the Roback print polos. They have you feeling good all year round.
Jim Dunaway, Lance Taylor, Ryan Brown, and Rockstar. Live from the Birmingham Racecourse Casino Studios, the next round, presented by Bud Light, is on now.
College football conversation with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. Adam does great stuff all the time, but it's that time of year where you just want to make sure Adam hasn't reported something fantastic every morning. We're 92 days away from week zero. This conversation being brought to you in part by our friends at Hemp Hill today for all your plumbing, cooling, and heating needs. Trust the name Birmingham's trusted since 1954. Hemp Hill Services, 205-229-2090, 229-2090.
All right, let's talk some college football with Adam Rittenberg, ESPN at ESPN Rittenberg is where you find him on Twitter, and he is with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. Good morning, Adam. Welcome in. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, good. I'm doing great. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. A lot of ground we want to cover today. If I could start, and listen, I want to say this on the outset. I'm not a big fan of asking people about other people's reporting, but he is your colleague, Pete Thamel, and I know you were sources on stuff like this, too. But Pete reported basically that the Big Ten TV deal wasn't everything it was cracked up to be, as it turns out. How big a concern is this, from what you can gather from Big Ten coaches and athletics directors, that maybe it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be?
Well, I think financially it still will be. I mean, for the most part, the one issue that was brought up in that story that will be interesting to monitor is the November night games. You know, that's been a resistance point over the years for the Big Ten. Back to when I started covering the league, there were no November night games other than there were some exceptions made in Minnesota because they were playing inside the dome back then. So that's something to watch, because NBC's deal obviously is primetime. I mean, that's what they signed up for. That's what they paid a lot of money for. But I didn't see anything in the piece that's not fixable, I think, by the new commissioner, who again has a lot of experience in the media world, has relationships with the media companies. And I think it's something that you can get past. So I think the overall dollars of the deal are still very, very formidable, as are the partnerships with NBC and CBS coming in with Fox already in place. And so I think it was more so just, you know, looking at the end of the Kevin Warren tenure, which was very tumultuous, and there were communication issues all over the place. And now it's a new day. It's a new era now with Tony Petitti in place. And so he's got some work to do in that front. But I don't think anything that was brought up, some of it's just ADs and coaches airing their grievances. It's going to happen. They're never truly happy. But I didn't see anything that's an obstacle towards, you know, prosperity as a conference, so to speak.
Adam, if we were betting a friendly Diet Coke on whether or not the SEC decides on their football scheduling next week at their SEC meetings in Destin and makes that announcement, not the teams, but the fact that they would move to 9 games, would you think we have a scheduling plan after next week or not?
I really hope so. But again, I've been wrong on this as far as the SEC moving to 9 games a lot over the course of the last decade or so. I've always felt that it was in the best interest of maybe not from a playoff standpoint, but from the teams and the coach and the fans and the media partners. Why wouldn't you want more SEC football? Obviously, the circumstances in 2020 were things that none of us wanted. But the one upside from a football standpoint is we got more SEC games. All SEC schedule, like, why wouldn't you want that? So I hope they get there. I've been very open and critical of the SEC schedule model for many years. People that follow me know where I stand. I don't think it served the fans well at all. I don't understand how you can have massive gaps when you don't play each other and call yourself league brethren. It just doesn't make sense. So I think anything that increases the rotation that prevents these massive gaps where generations of athletes can go through their careers without playing one another in football, let's get away from that. Let's get to playing each other more and having the games that truly matter on the calendar as often as possible.
You know, I'm interested. Let's get to on the field now. You know, we're not that far away from all the media days. We're at SEC Media Days in Nashville in 52 days. But the ACC this year is a fascinating league to me because here comes Florida State. But Clemson's still winning double-digit games, and they've done that for a little over a decade now. How important do you feel like this year is for Dabo Swinney and that Clemson program to have a big continuation or even a better bounce back year than say they've had the last few years?
Yeah, it's really important. I think the power balance in that league, even though Florida State hasn't won it since 2014, just seems to be shifting a little bit towards the Seminoles and the team that they have coming back and how they finish the season. But to your point, Clemson still won the league. They won 10 games once again, which they do every year, even in their quote unquote down years. They have to get better on offense. And that's why they brought in Garrett Riley, to spark that unit. I don't think their personnel is where it was a few years ago on the offensive side, especially at the wide receiver spot. So interested to see what Garrett can do to, get Clemson back to the way that we remember them, under Tony Elliott, and with those quarterbacks that they had. So, very interested to see what type of team that they have this year. And then for Florida State, I think there's real urgency because they have so many players coming back on both sides of the ball, star power, Jordan Travis and Jared Verse and the linemen on both sides. Florida State's offensive line is no longer one of the worst position groups in the country as it was for years. They've done really well in the portal on both sides of the ball. So can that translate to a championship? That's going to be really interesting. And their game against LSU, to me, right off the top, is so fascinating because it will be a better game than what we saw last year. I can't predict who's going to win. I guess I could, but I'd probably be wrong. But it will be a better football game. I thought last year we got an interesting game, an exciting game, with two teams that were really flawed and not where they would be at the end of the season. So I'm much more excited for this year's LSU-Florida State game. And for Florida State, it's huge because you win that game again, then we can really start talking about ACC title, college football playoff, things that haven't been on the table for a while.
Adam Rittenberg is with us at ESPN Rittenberg. On Twitter is where you find him. He is on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. This March Madness, we saw Florida Atlantic make the Final Four, and they are a team that is departing to go to the American. So it was kind of hard for Conference USA to take a victory lap on that one, right? Because it only pointed out the fact that's a team we're losing. If USC makes the college football playoff, how much of a victory lap can the Pac-12, who has not had great representation in the college football playoff, how much victory lap could they take on that?
Well, it would be interesting because USC is obviously departing. But I think the Pac-12 would take any of its current members in a year with a 14 playoff and take credit for it. They should. And what's interesting is that they also have other candidates this year. I was out in Seattle about a month and a half ago and watched a Washington team that I believe can make the college football playoff if certain things go right. They have a tough schedule. They have Boise State, Michigan State non-conference, and then the Pac-12, but they are incredibly talented on both sides of the ball. So it's not just USC, it's Washington. Can't forget about Utah, the team that's won the conference the last 2 years. Now they open with Florida and Baylor, the first two games, and their quarterback, Cam Rising, is coming off of an ACL, so that'll be interesting. Oregon is still really talented. Dan Lanning's doing a nice job there with the personnel. But yeah, I think Pac-12 would take any credit for one of its members, even one that's soon to be departing for the Big Ten if they can finally get over the hump and make the playoff. I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm really excited for the 12-team playoff, guys, because the Pac-12 last year was a good conference. They had a lot of really good teams. Unfortunately, they didn't have a playoff team, and so it's just another year that they don't make the playoff, but they were better than last year's Pac-12 was better than leagues that have produced playoff contenders in the past. They just were. But because they all had two losses or more, they were left out. That's not going to be the case in the future.
One of the best, if not the best moment for the nation, not for most of our viewers, was Tennessee beating Alabama last year at Neyland Stadium and the field rush and the carrying the goalpost down to the Tennessee River and throwing it in there, just all the stuff that they write books about and make documentaries about. Tennessee moving forward, Are they closer to the top, Georgia, Alabama, LSU this year, or are they back more towards the middle of the pack? Do you think they can back up what they did last year?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, they lost four players on offense drafted in the top 75 back in April. That's tough to replace, especially quarterback and Hendon Hooker, who was a record setter. But you have Josh Heupel. His track record on offense has been outstanding, especially the 2 years at Tennessee. So you figure that unit is not going to fall off dramatically. You know, to me, it comes down to the defense. You know, they got better in certain areas last year, but they also had those games where they couldn't stop anyone. South Carolina comes to mind. You know, Alabama obviously scored a lot of points against them. So are they going to elevate defensively? And I'm like thinking about the personnel, because I think Tim Banks is a good coordinator. It's just, do they have enough talent with the way they play offensively to hold up on defense? They've been recruiting well. They have added some transfers who should be able to help. Linebacker from BYU, cornerback from BYU, a defensive lineman from Kansas. Maybe that gets them a little bit more stable on that side of the ball. But I'm interested to see, can you know, even in the SEC, is Tennessee a team that is going to be talked about for SEC titles, for college football playoff appearances, especially in 2024 and beyond? Because there's certainly a lot of excitement and momentum. And that's a place, because of the size of the fan base and the money around the program and the history, that once they get going, there is an opportunity to elevate and become a consistent playoff contender. You can't say that about many teams, but you can say that about the Tennessee program.
USC has an opening right now for athletic director for a variety of reasons that's been well documented. You went to school at Northwestern, which is virtually in Chicago. You know, the SEC is made up of colleges in virtually small towns. Is the USC AD job attractive, you think, right there in the heart of LA? Is that one that they will be able to basically go pick and choose the athletic director they want?
Well, I think it's a more attractive job now because of the Big Ten move and because the coaching situations are stabilized. You know, when Mike Bone was hired, it was largely believed he was there to hire a football coach to get rid of Clay Helton and then hire whoever, Urban Meyer or someone else to take over that program. Obviously, Lincoln Riley is in really good shape right now with his program, his recruiting. Basketball, both basketball's men's and women's are in good shape with Bronny James coming in. That's going to be exciting for Andy Enfield and their program, the baseball program. So it's not so much you got to come in and hire a bunch of coaches. It's about transitioning to the Big Ten. It's about you're keeping USC competitive at the very top of college football from an NIL resources standpoint. And there are some challenges, as you mentioned, being in a major city. I think that turned off some candidates. The last time, they didn't want to live in L.A. They didn't want that cost of living to live comfortably out there when they can live in, pick a college town, and it's just a lot more comfortable. So, but I do believe, because of the Big Ten move and because of these coaching situations, USC will have a stronger candidate pool this time around than they did last time, when Mike Bone was really like the 14th or 15th choice. I mean, I'm not joking. There were a lot of people ahead of him that didn't want the job, and he ended up getting the job. And you know, there's obviously a lot of things that go into that hire now in hindsight, but I think this time will be a stronger candidate pool. The interesting thing will be, will USC go back to what it's historically done and hired its own for this job? This has typically gone to a USC person. Mike Bone was not. He was an outsider. Will the next AD be an outsider, or will he or she be someone directly connected or kind of tangentially connected to the SEC program?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like what we saw in this state for years, where Alabama had to find someone that was connected to Alabama to hire as the football coach. And the one time they went away from that was Dennis Franchione. Got burned. They couldn't wait to, you know, try to get back to some sort of Alabama tie. Now,
then they went bad and they went and got Nick Saban. And
that's right. That's right.
There might never be another Alabama grad ever.
Yes. They should give Nick Saban, an honorary master's degree or something like that, just so they could claim he was an Alabama graduate. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter is where you find him. Thank you very much for the time, Adam. Always great talking with you.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
All right, you too. Take care. Adam with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline.
On a holiday weekend, I mean, he jumps in with us right there. No problem at all.
By the way, so is Ben McDonald. He's going to join us at 10:45. The SEC Network, former LSU pitcher there, a major leaguer, going to join us at 10:45.
Oh, fantastic. You know,
talk SEC baseball.
You guys follow the show enough to know that Brown books 99.8% of our guests. Rockstar slides in every now and then, and on rare occasions I will throw a guest out there, but 99.8%, it's all Brown, who handles the juggling of the balls every day to get the schedule put together, and he sends out a list the night before so little T can build a graphic, and we promote who's going to come on the show. Sometimes he adds somebody in the morning, and then the rare occasion, like right then, he will say like that on the air to let all of us know that, hey, we got a late ad. Just behind the curtain, that was Brownie's way of saying, hey, I just got a text from Ben McDonald, and he's going to join us, not in the next segment, but the segment after.
Well, Ben wanted to come on. He had just not given me a time, so he gave me the time while Adam was on there. So I had alerted Scott and Little T. Those are the people that need to know first.
Yeah, so a tweener segment coming up here before we get to Ben McDonald to talk about the SEC baseball tournament for the weekend. The show is being brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. If you like hair and just uncontrolled hair growing everywhere, if you like that stuff, then you need to turn away right now, because we're about to get your hair either out or in shape.
We're going to get you that summer bod. That's how we're going to get you. I mean, you're about to have to go skin off at the pool and at the beach. You need to have that summer bod looking good, right?
I'm slick as a seal, baby. I'm ready for the weekend.
So don't look like Austin Powers when you go to the beach and you got that hair popping out on the chest and coming out of the ears and out of the nose. Manscaped takes care of that for you. It starts basically for me with that beard hedger. I use it every Friday. Now, I do that anyway, but I like doing it because I'm going to talk about it on the show. The beard hedger thing I like most about it, it's got that adjustable dial. It doesn't have a guard that pops on or pops off. It adjusts up and down. So if it pops on and pops off easily when you want to change it, guess when else it'll pop on and pop off? When you're actually shaving your beard. Now you gapped your beard, you're going to shave the whole thing off. It's just going to be a total mess. Not with the beard hedger. That's one of the great products they also have there in Manscaped. The lawnmower takes care of the unmentionable areas. I always say it. You wouldn't use the same sponge on your paint job that you use on the undercarriage. Why would you consider doing that with a razor? The same razor on your face and your undercarriage makes no sense at all. So you get that lawnmower specifically designed for the unmentionable areas. And then the Weed Whacker 2.0 takes care of the ear hair, the nose hair, so you don't look like an old man with just hair coming out of all the parts of your face right there. You can get that summer bod with our friends at Manscaped right now. All those things I mentioned, you can get them together in a performance pack. You can buy them individually, whatever the case might be. Right now, get 20% off and free shipping with code TNR. That is 20% off and free shipping with code TNR right now when you go to manscaped.com. Don't forget code TNR to get 20% off your entire order and free shipping at manscaped.com.
Very interesting here on the Mike Bone firing at USC. And it's becoming evident it was not mutual, right? This was a firing. USC won 5 national championships, according to reports, while he was the athletic director.
Okay.
5 national championships. Forrester, Lunsford, Tyler, Mike's on. You guys tell me how many of those 5 national championships, when they won those, was Mike Bone, the athletic director, in the facility, arena, playing field, pool, whatever, watching and cheering on the USC Trojans? How many of those 5 was he in person at?
I mean, you wouldn't ask the question if it wasn't 0,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, it has to be 0.
Yeah,
everybody goes 0?
It is 0. Yeah. He's the AD. They won 5 national championships, and the athletic director isn't at any of them.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
It's frowned upon, Scott.
If I take out men's football and men's basketball, which you know USC did not win, what do you think the common thread is of the 5 national championship sports they won that he did not attend?
That would be women's sports.
They were all women's sports.
Well, it's a bad look either way, but when it's all one gender and you don't go to that one gender's national champ. Now, we're not talking about like if the report came out like, hey, he never attended a regular season women's volleyball match. You'd be like, Yeah, man, it's bad. You at least want to show your face occasionally.
I guarantee you.
But these are championships.
Mark Ingram at UAB, Greg Byrne, and John Cohen will walk. You know, they may not go to a mall, but they will go to at least one event or walk through everything on campus at some point. And if they're playing for a national championship,
well,
they will fly
it.
And be there for sure.
Of course. Well, I mean, keep in mind, Greg Byrne was on the show right before the Super Bowl. We weren't talking to him about that, but Lance asked him the question, like, hey, Alabama women's basketball plays on Super Sunday at 3 o'clock. Will you leave at halftime? We joked with him. He's like, oh, no, I'll be there the whole game. You know, I'll catch the second half of the Super Bowl. That's Super Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, I think even Alabama's women's coach would say, Greg, look, I get it, man. Leave at halftime. I understand.
Jay says, so you mean Bone didn't come to Gulf Shores for beach volleyball? I assume they are good at beach volleyball.
I would guess if anybody's going to be good, you think it'd be USC.
Our boy Landrum, who we used to work with, he used to do some video work, audio work for them down there. And I do think I remember him talking about the USC beach volleyball team. Bone, man, go. I mean, it's your job. It's your athletic and playing. If you don't make it to a regular season home game, we get that a lot of games, but for a national championship, it's a glaring mistake on his part. Some of the people up for that job, the AD at Washington State, the deputy AD at Florida, Linda Teeler, is being mentioned, works for Scott Strickland down there. But one familiar name, John Curry, who's at Wake Forest. Remember him in the SEC?
I really don't, to be honest with you.
He was the guy that Phil Fulmer pulled the power play and forced out.
Oh,
at Tennessee.
There you go.
NH3425 is there as well. According to The Athletic, John Curry, who is at Wake Forest and former Tennessee AD, is on that list. Absolutely. He is. And he was the guy, if I remember correctly, NH3425, that Fulmer basically pulled the power play and took his job from him.
By the way, here are the championships he missed. Beach volleyball, they've won three straight down in Orange Beach.
Dynasty.
21, 22, and 23. Like I said, I would think USC's got a good beach volleyball team. So Mike Bone couldn't get on the school jet and fly one time from L.A. to Orange Beach. There's even a private airport down there. You can land and be at the beach volleyball event in 10 minutes.
By the way, it's on the coast. I mean, I know
well,
you're...
I mean, I know he's in L.A., but hey, yeah. You see the Gulf beaches and the Pacific beaches, right. Nowhere close.
That's right.
Gulf of Mexico versus Pacific Ocean, not even a game.
Another win for the SEC. Yes.
Oh, easy win. Outdoor track and field, no idea where they play that one. But 2021, and then water polo.
It's in a pool somewhere.
Somewhere.
I bet it was played in California, too. Come on, Mike Bone. What a bonehead, if you will.
Oh, come on, Dunaway. It was, dude, it was played at UCLA.
That's down the street.
The year they won it.
It was at UCLA, and the track and field was at Oregon.
Oh. So he can't even go to Pac-12 markets, Lunsford. I mean, Orange Beach is a long trip.
It was at UCLA.
It was at UCLA.
The four's backed up. I can't make it. Dude, it's street roads. You don't even have to leave anywhere. You're right there near the Forum, and it's over there on Rodeo.
Rodeo.
All right, when we come back, more stuff that's happening in college football. We will get to that, but I want to ask the question, Brown, before we get back to college football, what is the worst run professional franchise out there right now in American sports? Worst run professional franchise. I've got a new leader in the clubhouse. I don't think it's no longer the LA Clippers. You guys behind the glass think of one too. Lunsford's going to say the Titans, but we'll see if he answers the way we think. All that coming up on the show. That's being brought to you by our friends right there at Bromberg's. Graduation gifts to tell you about our friends at Bromberg's. Absolutely the best place to pick those up. Also wedding gifts, too.
Yeah, Roberto Coin Jewelry. Roberto Coin Jewelry shows off the beauty and personality that every woman with feminine and dainty diamond pieces wants. Big and bold statement gold jewelry as well, if that's what you want. Try a diamond letter pendant with initials from Tiny Treasure Collections or a medallion necklace showing off the personality of that graduate in your life. They are beautiful. Graduation gifts are for any of the ladies in your life. The expert sales team ready to help you choose the perfect gift that she will treasure forever at Bromberg's. Bromberg's in Mountain Brook and the Summit. Online, Bromberg's.com.
Follow Brownie on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Brown Live.
You've heard us rave about our friends at Legacy. Now I want to tell you about their everyday checking. How about this? No monthly fees, no minimum balance. One of the great perks, get paid 2 days early with direct deposit, instant issue debit cards. And there are some additional perks on top of that with the digital banking app. Absolutely love checking that. The official credit union of UAB, our friends at Legacy, dedicated service to education and healthcare industries for more than 60 years.
This is for the men who never settle, the ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie, the type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Make sure to start your day at nextroundlive.com. Get caught up on the latest podcasts and videos from the live daily show, plus specialty shows such as the Mystery Fifth Hour. You can also learn more about the whole staff at Double Down Media, find all of our social media feeds, see the latest videos from our YouTube channel and gaming channel, plus find other ways to consume the show like the Next Round mobile app, which you can download direct from the site via your iOS and Android device. Make nextroundlive.com your homepage and stay up to date with everything from us here at the Next Round.
If you're looking for a fun golf atmosphere that is laid back with a peaceful environment, the Meadows Golf Course in Harpersville, right off of Highway 280, is perfect for you. Just a short drive from Birmingham, this 18-hole, 200-acre track with rolling fairways and ample greens is the definition of peacefulness of the country just miles from the city. Enjoy a great lunch before your round and a cocktail on the wraparound porch after 18. Come see us today. The Meadows Golf Course in Harpersville, right off of Highway 280.
Want more of The Next Round? Download the app or visit nextroundlive.com for the latest podcast, The Mystery Fifth Hour, our Not For All Ages podcast, The Last Call, and the entire Double Down Media podcast family. All at nextroundlive.com and on the Next Round app.
Be there as your champion Stallions defend their title. Get your tickets now for this weekend's home game.
We can't wait to have you for the USFL.
Seats start at $10, so bring the whole family for kickoff at Protective Stadium as Coach Skip Holtz and the Stallions are running it back in Birmingham.
Doesn't get much more exciting than that.
Don't miss out on the hottest ticket in town.
Touchdown, Birmingham!
Buy your Stallions tickets today at theusfl.com.
It's the spring sales event at Alfa Romeo of Birmingham. Now you can get $10,000 off, plus rates as low as 4.7% on new 2022 Alfa Romeo Stelvios and new 2022 Alfa Romeo Giulias. Come see the team at Alfa Romeo of Birmingham, exit 27 just off I-459 on Grants Mill Road, or visit them online at alfaromeousaofbirmingham.com. Hurry down before they're all gone. All incentives applied, in stock units only with approved credit. alfaromeousaofbirmingham.com.
You guys quick with the answer from the Vulcan Tire and Automotive chat room. Some good answers rolling in. But can I just start the conversation off with this? Lunsford, when we... Well, you weren't here in the beginning. Never mind. I can't ask you that question. Brown, when we started this dream of ours to come true, and we came up with the name... Nancy, Rockstar's wife, actually came up with the name The Next Round. What did we start doing? We started searching, make sure that we were legally okay doing The Next Round.
Well, we scoped out, you know, does anybody own the, like, is there any sort of trademark or whatever we need to be aware of? Yeah.
Yes.
We had attorneys look into that.
So this week, one professional franchise finds out that they cannot patent their name. Their patent was denied because of too many uses of the name that they cannot take away selling merchandise with that name on it from other people because it's already been in existence.
Okay.
The Washington Commanders may literally have to change their name again.
It wouldn't be the worst thing. That's a terrible nickname.
The Washington Commanders, which could be a good thing for the new ownership group, right? You can come in, you can remarket and
that's
everything.
Right. Just completely flush everything.
But they couldn't get a patent on the name or trademark, whatever it
trademark,
is.
Trademark, yeah,
on,
not
on,
patent.
On the Commander's name. So they go in there and they get denied. And I think the patent offices handle that, the same people. I'm not sure. But they can't get it. So technically, I think, if we wanted to sell Lunsford, you know all the ins and outs of this stuff, I think we could sell Commander stuff if we wanted to.
If they don't have a patent on it, then, yeah, I guess we can do whatever we want to. Yeah.
Without a patent or a trademark.
Coming soon.
Like, we could.
Coming soon.
We could. I mean, it's not great-looking gear anyway.
Yeah, I really don't want to water our store down with it unless we can make a fortune.
But, I mean, as a franchise, they actually, you know, they don't do horrible on the field. They haven't been as great as back when Gibbs was there. Yeah. But compared to some of the ones we're going to name here in a second, not too bad. But how do you pick a team, a name, and not first go and make sure you can get the name trademark at the level like the NFL?
Well, the problem apparently is the Commanders Classic has the trademark that is the Army Air Force game. I had I had no idea that's what they call that game. And I'm a college football fan now. I don't watch a ton of Army Air Force, I got to confess. But
usually on the CBS Sports Network.
Yep.
11 a.m.
Commanders Classic is what the issue is. And that's why they couldn't get the trademark, because of that one game. Seems like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this, you're right. This seems like an attorney would have
bought off the military early on.
I don't know. It just seems like an attorney would have figured this one out before they go with the nickname. I agree with you. It also seems like we could have the Washington Commanders trademarked and the Commanders Classic trademarked, and they're never going to cross paths there.
Yeah, I don't understand all of the rules that go into that, but it just is another sign that the Redskins / Commanders / Washington Football Club has been mismanaged for a long, long, long time. New ownership group coming in. And if I was buying this team at, what is it, $6.9 billion?
Right.
I sort of would like to, you know, I think I'd want to ditch that name. And, you know, I would honest to goodness think about, you know, to make it sound cooler, almost going the DC something.
Maybe so. And now keep in mind, the logo is protected. Like they can, you know, we couldn't sell stuff with a logo.
The logo is trademarked.
It's trademarked. It's
the
protected.
Name is not.
The name Commanders is what they can't get protected here.
So we could go that burgundy and gold Commanders on a T-shirt all the time.
Color combo. God, I hate it.
Yeah, who would want it? But I'm just saying.
I hated it when it was the Redskins. Yeah. But yes, I mean, somewhere in D.C. today, people are printing up all kinds of Commanders gear, and they can go sell it without having to pay Washington anything for it.
So I would be excited if I was buying this team. I'd want to rebrand it, rename it.
Oh, I would too. Yeah. But I don't know what I would go with, because as you referenced us coming up with a name for the show, that was a hard process for us. We literally, when we were launching this thing in our attorney's office, had a whiteboard like half the size of the wall behind us right here. And I remember a day in the office standing at the board with a marker in my hand while everybody in the room shouted out names. And we wrote them up there, and I got to the end of it and stepped back, and we didn't like a single one of them.
Yeah, we named our company before we named the show.
That is right, yeah.
Like, we knew we were going to be Double Down Media before we came up with the Next Round.
But, I mean, we had a board full of names, and we stepped back, and I'm like, I don't think I like any of these. And you and Lance are both, and I think everybody in the room was like, yeah, I'm kind of with you. We wasted 45 minutes of calling names out to you, writing them on a whiteboard, which I don't know why it was at you. You got better penmanship than me. Coming up with team nicknames is just as difficult.
Yeah.
Most team nicknames suck. No, the new ones.
We see that with every new team.
Like, how do you feel about the Seattle Kraken?
People love that name. I don't love it.
Lunsford's the hockey guy. Lunsford,
yeah. I love it. Like, yeah. I went and bought a bunch of gear, even though I'm Preds till I die. It's just because it looks cool.
Like, I didn't like it at first, but it has grown on me a little bit. It just screams new money, though. Like, it's not Canadiens or Maple Leafs or Rangers.
I hated the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I liked the Carolina Panthers. I was like, oh, I like the Carolina Panthers. I did not like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, middle of the road on either one of those two, but they are so synonymous with those two teams now, I just don't even think twice about it.
Like, I mean, you do need history to sort of...
Well, I mean, but that the only way you can do that's to create it.
Right.
I mean,
you have to create it, and then it has to grow on you. Like, I'm old enough to remember that it was the Minnesota North Stars. So when they moved that hockey team to Dallas to become the Dallas Stars, at first I was like, well, how stupid is that? But then when you think about it, it's the old... Birmingham actually was a farm team of the Minnesota North Stars for a while, and we were called the Birmingham South Stars for a brief moment. I think I'm correct about that here in Birmingham.
But it's like the Titans. Like, you can't be the Oilers when you move to Nashville, so you got to change.
You can't.
And I wasn't crazy about the Titans either.
I wasn't either, but now it has grown on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought the Dallas Stars, I just didn't follow a ton of hockey as a kid. I thought the Dallas Stars, and this was when I was in high school when they moved to Dallas.
Star in the flag.
No. Yeah. I thought it was the Stars because the Cowboys had made the Star famous, and they were playing off of that.
No. Well, you know, the one long star on the state flag. Yeah. It does work when you do it.
No, it works perfectly, yeah. But it was only because they took the North Stars, and like Lunsford said, you can't really call them North Stars if they're in Texas, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But most nicknames suck. So if I'm the new owner and I got to come up with another nickname, how are you going to do it?
Well, you know, what we learned through that whole naming process is that when it was all said and done, everyone seemed to be pretty happy with it just being called the Washington Football Club.
That's what I would have stuck with. Washington Football Team, WFT.
Like you just the other night when we were promoting the Legion game, the Legion FC, you said, hey, what's Charlotte's mascot? I'm going to send out a tweet. And I said, I think they're just the Charlotte FC. I don't think they have a have a mascot.
Right.
They're just Charlotte FC.
I mean, it kind of works in soccer. A lot of teams do that, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, like, Manchester City, they don't actually have a mascot, do they? They don't have a team name. They're not the Manchester City Tigers. They're just Manchester City or Manchester United or Chelsea FC.
Tottenham, we're called the Hotspur, but, you know. And that's referenced some way, but it's always just Tottenham.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's more natural in soccer. In the NFL, everybody's got a team nickname, a mascot. So, Washington Football Team did seem kind of weird, but I think I liked it better than Commanders.
Yeah. Texas Rangers, it's kick-ass. I like that. Utah Jazz and L.A. Lakers don't make sense. They were moved. They kept the name and the history. I understand that. But I'm with NH3425. I did not like the Pelicans. Not sure I don't even sure I like that name now.
But I will say this, growing up with the LA Lakers, it just never bothered me. I never stopped and said, why are they the LA Lakers? You know why I didn't? Because they were really, really good. And just seemed like it worked. They weren't a crap franchise.
And they were always the Lakers your whole life.
Yeah,
LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
They got the name from being
Trolley Dodgers.
Yeah, Trolley Dodgers.
Brooklyn, yeah.
And they became the L.A.
Yeah,
Dodgers.
Yeah, but I've never thought twice about that. I mean, like, L.A. inherited all these teams, and they just kept the nicknames, and it's never really bothered me. Like, I think San Francisco, they were the Giants because right when they were first in New York, the association with the football Giants, these are the baseball Giants, the football Giants, they moved out west, and they're just like, that's a pretty good name. We're just going to keep it. It doesn't make any sense. It's got no tie to San Francisco.
Yeah.
What's giant about San Francisco?
And in fairness to J.A., I think I agree. The Guardians is a worse name than the Washington Commanders. The Cleveland Guardians is a worse name.
But again, it's to our point. Do you see how hard it is to come up with nicknames? I mean, once you're late to the game and everybody's got the Bulldogs and the Tigers and the Lions and all the other nicknames, you're pretty much sunk.
Forster is right. Hartford Whalers were fantastic. They were in the Birmingham Bulls League, WHA. They were part of the merger that left the Bulls behind. They are trying to bring the Hartford Whalers back. Hartford is pushing to get the Phoenix Coyotes to Hartford.
And Scott's right, though. Good logo.
And they would bring back the Whalers name, they said, if they get the Coyotes.
Yeah, I like the logo and I like the Whalers name.
Part of the show being brought to you by Greg from Pell City and Storm Restoration Roofing. Listen, you don't want to be chasing that white well on your roof when you've got water leaking in. You can't find the hole up there, and that's when you call Greg. You want to prevent that from happening. You don't want to call Greg when it's an emergency. You want to call Greg right now when it's sunny and 88, and he'll get up on that roof and give you a roof inspection so that you never got water leakage. You never have to repair any of the wood or anything in your house. You're able to maybe fix a loose shingle before it causes a problem, or bent shingle, or anything else that may be wearing and tearing up on your roof. The only way you can get to that is a free, no-cost roof inspection with no obligation from Greg from Pell City and Storm Restoration Roofing. 205-542-3531. 542-3531, or just look up Greg from Pell City on Facebook. A-plus rated with a Better Business Bureau. All the warranties you need. Locally owned for over 20 years. He and his wife run the company. In fact, this is his cell number, 542-3531. Greg from Pell City, Storm Restoration Roofing. Get that free, no-cost roof inspection. Specials for all veterans and active military personnel, especially on this Memorial Day weekend. We say thank you for your service and those that paid the ultimate price, and Greg's got special deals for your families out there. Some of the teams that are being thrown in there, Brownie, if you'll pull up the chat room of the worst run franchises. It used to always be Clippers, Clippers, Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, Oakland is there now. I mean, obviously, it's been a terribly run franchise, so much so they're about to move to Las Vegas.
42 losses already before June 1st, the most in Major League Baseball history. So a lot of A's rolled through there.
Yeah, and their stadium situation is just really bad. I mean, people were on Washington very early on this, who probably didn't even know the genesis of the story, the whole reason he brought it up. It's just been a poorly run franchise under Dan Snyder. There's no two ways about it. It was such a great franchise under, was it the Bidwells that owned it before Dan Snyder? Was that the name of the family?
No, that was, isn't that the Cardinals?
I don't know.
The Bidwells.
It doesn't matter. But the family that owned it before, they were, they had it so good. So you got a lot of Washington. Boy, I'm having to dig back through because then everybody got on the talk about mascots and how hard it is to come up with a mascot name. Yeah,
the A's were in there a lot.
Yeah, A's got a lot of mention. Yeah,
yeah, you had
Sacramento Kings, and H3425 says Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. The Falcons were mentioned. I saw them.
Houston Texans got some mentions.
Yeah, they have been
Bears. Bears got mentioned.
Yeah, and now they've got Kevin Warren. I mean, do you Jets. Have somebody who checks Kevin Warren's work? As he's running, he's the president of the Bears. Like, if he tells you something good in a board meeting, does someone say, hey, will you just check and make sure it's everything he says it is?
Yeah, Forrester put in an early vote for the White Sox, by the way. Or as he calls them, the Reinsdorfs. Terrible nickname, too, Scott.
We appreciate your feedback in that conversation there about some of the worst-run franchises in America. Oakland has set the bar and is setting the bar at a new level. Bobby says the Bears have been run like crap for a long, long time. You know, the Cubs, he's a big Cubs fan. The Cubs have, you know, at times, but...
Well, their fan base is just too loyal. They know they can run out any crap product they want, and that's such a loyal fan base. They'll support it.
I can't remember the guy's name now, but he built the Red Sox, and he took the Cubs job.
Yeah.
And he's not in charge now. He's moved to the Major League Baseball office, and I think Bobby will back me up here. I think he did a wonderful job of building up, I think I'm right about this, building up the minor league system for the Cubs, and it's about to pay dividends in the years to come. All right, show being brought to you by our friends at Wayne's. We're celebrating 50 years of Wayne's. Have you ever been a Wayne's customer? All of us up here are Wayne's customers, and there's a reason why. They're fantastic at what they do, and they've been doing it that way for 50 years. Great customer service, but it's okay to be great customer service people and have a great product. You don't have to just be great customer service and an average product and make up for it. I like going with great customer service people, but the reason I'm with Wayne's first, they've got the best pest control, the best termite protection, and these new products they offer, the lawn care service and mosquito protection, second to none. So now we want to give you a chance to save $50 on each one of those services and stack them up. If you use our promo code TNR, when you go to callwaynes.com or call 866-WAYNES-1. Promo code TNR. Stack them together. Save $50, $100, $150, $200. New customers or existing customers get this deal. Promo code TNR for the pest, the termite, the mosquito protection, and lawn care service. TNR is the code. Callwaynes.com or 866-WAYNES-1.
Follow Dunaway on Twitter and Instagram at Jim Dunaway.
Hey, Lance Taylor from the Next Round to tell you about one of our favorite places for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That is Hamburger Heaven since 1982. Hamburger Heaven has been serving Birmingham's best hamburgers, cheeseburgers, french fries, hand-spun milkshakes, and sandwiches made fresh to order. All of their ingredients are fresh and prepared daily. This includes their beef, always fresh, never frozen, hand-pattied each and every day. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, visit any of the four locations, Highway 280, Irondale, Gardendale, and Homewood.
Hey, Ryan Brown here from the Next Round. Do you want to help pay for my kids' college and look great while you're doing it? You need to go to the Next Round store. Everything from hats to short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, zip-up hoodies, and much more. And we're adding new things all the time. Why would you not want to see my kids get a great college education and look great out in the public while you're doing it? Get the gear we wear all the time on the show, and there's only one place to get it. NextRound.store. That's NextRound.store.
you're looking for a fun golf atmosphere that is laid back with a peaceful environment, the Meadows Golf Course in Harpersville, right off of Highway 280, is perfect for you. Just a short drive from Birmingham, this 18-hole, 200-acre track with rolling fairways and ample greens is the definition of peacefulness of the country just miles from the city. Enjoy a great lunch before your round and a cocktail on the wraparound porch after 18. Come see us today. The Meadows Golf Course in Harpersville, right off of Highway 280.
It's the spring sales event at Alfa Romeo of Birmingham. Now you can get $10,000 off, plus rates as low as 4.7% on new 2022 Alfa Romeo Stelvios and new 2022 Alfa Romeo Giulias. Come see the team at Alfa Romeo of Birmingham, exit 27 just off I-459 on Grants Mill Road, or visit them online at alfaromeousaofbirmingham.com. Hurry down before they're all gone. All incentives applied, in stock units only with approved credit. alfaromeousaofbirmingham.com.
Follow Next Round Live on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The social media team at Next Round Live is dedicated to giving you daily news conferences and practice video from UAB, Alabama, Auburn, and around college football. Follow and compare to the sites you used to visit. You'll also get the latest highlights and news from the Next Round Daily Show. Turn on the notifications so you don't miss a thing. Next Round Live on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. See more at nextroundlive.com.
Hey, Lance Taylor from the Next Round to tell you about my friends at Michelson Laser Vision, located conveniently UAB Highlands. Almost 20 years ago, I went in for the procedure. Only took 12 minutes for both eyes. When I went in, I had 20/200 vision. I was legally blind. Now I have 20/15 vision, still 19 years later. Make the call today. Schedule a hassle-free consultation. 969-8100. Dr. Mark Michelson, Dr. Jen Michelson, Michelson Laser Vision. Make sure you tell them the Next Round sent you. 969-8100 or MichelsonLaserVision.com.
Bobby corrected me. It was the general manager after Epstein, Jed Hoyer, that built up the Cubs system. So can't wait for the next few years of the Cubs maybe to get another title. Let's talk some baseball now. SEC tournament goes this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We get back to some elimination games.
We do. Good day out at the Met starting at 3. LSU, Texas A&M, Alabama, Vanderbilt. Ben McDonald will be out there with the SEC Network. He is on Twitter at RealBenMcDonald. Former LSU Major League great with us now. What is up, Ben? How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Doing awesome. Thanks a lot. Let's start with what you saw yesterday with Auburn and Alabama. You know, I found it interesting. We've been watching D1 Baseball, who does a really good job, D1Baseball.com, with their bracket projections. They flipped Alabama and Auburn yesterday. So what it means is Auburn would now, according to their projections, go against the Stanford region, with Stanford as the one seed. Then Alabama now against Vanderbilt. It flipped. I think Auburn got the better end of that deal. I think I'd rather have to go play Stanford than have to play Vanderbilt if I made it to the next round.
Well, it's always nice to play somebody you haven't played, you know. And, you know, Stanford, from all indications, I have not seen them, are a pretty good team. But you wonder, because if you look at their top 25 versus the RPI, they've not played a top 25 RPI team this year. And so that's kind of strange to me. A team can be a top 8 national seed and yet they have not played a top 25 RPI team the entire year. And people say, well, they won the Pac-12. And I go, well, I thought we were past everybody gets a trophy, you know. And so I don't care what conference you won. I don't care about geography. I don't care that we're supposed to have certain regions here and certain regions there. I don't care about that. I care about the top 16 teams, the best 16 teams being regional hosts. I care about the best 64 teams getting in the NCAA tournament. That's what I care about. That's what I'm here for, you know. So when I hear people talk about geography and, well, we got to have so many regions over here, this conference won. I don't see it that way. I see it, why cheat the kids? Give the kids that had the best year, that deserve to be the regional host, that deserve to be in the NCAA tournament, give those kids a chance.
Listen, I'm not going to win any sports Emmys with this question, because I've asked it. You're like the sixth baseball guest I've had in the last 2 weeks, and I've asked the same question. But you played this sport at every level, at an elite level. Tell me your takeaway of what Alabama has done since changing coaches midseason with that whole scenario. What that team has done on the field says what to you?
It tells me they're a resilient bunch, obviously. It tells me that, you know, baseball players and athletes can come together and you rally around your buddy. You rally around your teammates. You rally around the guy you room with, you know, and you all pull together. And sometimes adversity brings out the very best in athletes. And adversity brings out a lot of times the best in the human race too, I think, as well, you know. And to see Alabama go through what they went through, to see them finish the way they did, you know, knocking off Vandy and A&M, of course, Ole Miss down the stretch, it's remarkable, you know. Now, this was a solid Vanderbilt team. Now, there's no doubt about that. If you look at the numbers would tell you that Vanderbilt was one of the top pitching teams in the SEC. I mean, they finished second in the SEC overall in pitching. And if you go to conference games alone, you know, Alabama was towards the top as well. Matter of fact, they were the number one pitching team within the SEC. So they can always pitch it. What's been different for Alabama is the offense has really shot up, right? In that time frame you're talking about, the offense has just totally grabbed a different gear, and it's went to places that they were not at, you know, in the previous year. And so that's kind of why they shored up the defense. The pitching remained very good, but the offense has really taken off.
Ben McDonald is with us, pitched at LSU, pitched to the major leagues, now with the SEC Network. He is on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. And I'm going to assume you did, because you were at LSU and it's an incredible program. I'm going to assume at some point you had the day off Friday at the SEC baseball tournament. What is that day like for Florida and Arkansas today, where I don't have to worry about anything? I'm in Birmingham, I got a day off, and I know I've got a game coming up on Saturday.
Man, that's been so long ago, I can't even remember if I had a day off on Friday. And then look, I think the format's changed a bunch since way back when. Of course, it wasn't in Hoover whenever I was playing. It was bounced around a different ballpark every year within the SEC, you know. But I can tell you, talking to these kids, they enjoy a day off this time of the year, you know. I mean, it's a grind, and it's the time of year that the battery's starting to run low a little bit for everybody. You know, you got bumps and bruises. You've been through that 30-game grind of the SEC. You're looking forward, certainly, to what's ahead of you. You know, you want to win the SEC tournament, but I think you got one eye on a regional and a super regional and hopefully the College World Series, whoever you are, you know. And so it's good to have a day off. It's good to kind of hit the reset button a little bit, to get away from the grind a little bit, and then get it back after it tomorrow.
Auburn good enough to host, in your opinion? And what do you think about Butch Thompson as a coach and a builder of a program?
Man, Butch is awesome. I knew Butch way back when he was assistant coach, and obviously with his pitching background. And Butch has always made a believer out of me. You know, it's steady Eddie, like a lot of, I mean, look, we got some of the best coaches in the SEC. They're sitting right here. Some of the best in the country are right here in the SEC, and Butch Thompson's one of them. You know, he just knows how to maneuver and navigate around injuries. I mean, it's been a crazy year for injuries. A lot of these coaches have had to switch and mix and just kind of piecemeal the pitching staff, piecemeal their lineups together just to kind of get by, you know. And so Butch has got a veteran team. You know, Butch has got some dudes that's been around a little bit, and that seems to be a recipe for success in college baseball, is older guys, you know. And Butch has had some experience, some dudes that's been to Omaha, you know. And so it's good. You know, Butch is great. I think they have done enough, obviously. I mean, they came in with 17 SEC victories on the year into this thing. They got 18 now. I think no doubt that Butch and them and Auburn's going to be a regional host. I think we're going to have 8 this year. I really do. I think that, of course, that would set their all-time record. I think 7 is the most we've ever had regional hosts. I think we're going to have 8. So half, you know, it's hard to believe, but half of the field of the 16 will probably be SEC schools.
Can you explain to us what happened to the last two national champions? How can you be national champions at Mississippi State and Ole Miss the last 2 years and not even be in Hoover this year? How can you fall off that quick?
You know, that's a great question. You know, and really for Mississippi State, it's been 2 years in a row, right? They didn't make it last year either, and they don't make it again this year, you know. And so it's hard to do. But it does go to show you, you know, that how difficult it is to be on top and stay on top, right? I mean, that's the world we live in now. You can be great for a year, but can you consistently be really good? And there's not many programs out there. I mean, you could say it about Arkansas. They've been really good for a long time. So has Vanderbilt. They've been really good. They've been in the conversation a lot. Florida has. LSU hasn't. Look, LSU hasn't been to the College World Series since 17. you know, and so it's not been a great run for LSU. Now, Jay Johnson, I think, is going to do wonderful things to LSU, and he's kind of got them back on the map. They had a really good year last year. They won 18 SEC games, won 19 this year, going to be a top eight national seed. So LSU's definitely climbing back up to what they were years ago. But it's difficult, man. It's difficult when you win it all, you lose guys. And nobody talks about this, but I'm going to tell you, in today's game, when you make a deep run to Omaha, like Mississippi State did 2 years ago, like Ole Miss did last year, you're missing out on recruiting. A lot of these kids are hit the transfer portal. A lot of the teams that got knocked out are already going to grab those kids, and they're bringing them in, and they're having them on campus, and they're doing it, doing their thing. Meanwhile, you're playing in Omaha, which is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong, but what I'm getting at is I think that puts you behind in a lot of ways on recruiting. I think it puts you behind on the transfer portal when you make deep runs into this thing. So that may be something the NCAA might want to consider to make it fair for everybody, maybe to back up that, you know, when you can actually start talking to transfer portal guys and when you can actually get them in on your campus and make it fair for everybody. But I think it's definitely hinders the teams that make deep runs in the postseason.
Member of the College Baseball Hall of Fame, LSU great, major league pitcher as well, Ben McDonald. You'll see him on the SEC Network throughout the weekend from over at the Met. Ben, thank you so much for the time. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Yeah, man. Look forward to it. I got LSU and Texas A&M here at 3 o'clock, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's fantastic. Should be a good one. Thank you, Ben. Take care.
Thank you.
At Real Ben McDonald is where you would find him on Twitter, should you choose to do that. He was with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline.
Daniel helping us out with our nicknames. The Premier League teams do have nicknames. They're just not formally in the name. So they are nicknames, but they're not, you know, the way we do it in American sports.
Right. You don't call them like the Miami Dolphins. You don't call them the Man City Citizens.
Yeah. The Man United,
Red
Manchester
Devils.
United Red Devils, Chelsea Blues. I mean, I hear those referenced sometimes, but it's not as synonymous as it is in American sports, is I guess what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, I hear the Hotspur reference when I'm watching a Tottenham game, but I don't really ever remember me calling them the Hot Spurs, but I guess we are. I mean, I don't know. I don't watch enough of it. But Daniel, thank you for the information there. Top of the hour when we come back. Brown's got an observation about Pac-12 quarterbacks.
Might be the first time this has ever happened, if it does happen, courtesy of 24/7 Sports. Maybe the first time this has ever happened.
Later in the show, current players, Major League Baseball, NFL, that maybe are already Hall of Famers, or you would bet a digit would be Hall of Famers. Oof, in the future.
Boy. Current NFL or Major League, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jason Stark took a look at that.
Oh, it was on the Major League side?
Yeah, so we will talk about that. And in the next segment as well, we'll jump into Brian Harsin and Chris Lowe's conversation at ESPN.com. A lot of you folks reacting to that. But all the show today being brought to you in part by all of our great sponsors. That includes our friends at Slice Pizza. If you're looking for a great lunch today, dinner, especially on a holiday weekend with the kids out of school, easy to grab a big 2, 3, 4 boxes of pizza from our friends at Slice. Take home and everybody has a good time. Unique, fresh, local ingredients, unique pizza flavors like the Hot Mama, the Spicy Hawaiian, the Soul Pie, and so many more. Great wings, wonderful salad choices, the great beverages you get there, including our friends at Bud Light. You get it all at Slice Pizza, 4 locations, all local, Crestline, Lakeview, Vestavia, and Montevallo. New one coming to Homewood soon. Check them out online and get pizza to go. Local pizza, the best pizza, best crust I've ever had. It's Slice Pizza. Our friends at Slice, back in a moment.
Call the next round now at 205-734-0923.